Children's Church? Yes. All right. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. She's just about overtaking you now. She'll be swooping you here in a couple months. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you that each and every day that we take your grace into our hearts, faith develops, we can operate in your kingdom the way we're supposed to. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here to teach us and guide us and rightfully divide your word of truth. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ and the Holy Communion that you have given to us so that we can receive your healing and your health, your well-being, the life of Christ in us. Father, we thank you that Jesus was beaten and bruised for us, and it's by his stripes that we were healed. Father, we thank you that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid upon Jesus on that cross so that we can boldly enter into your presence and receive of your well-being in our lives. So we're taking this for our health and our well-being. Jesus, your shed blood not only washed away all our sins, but it made us new creatures in Christ. It also made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it sealed in the New Testament promises for us. And it purged the Holy of Holies in us so that we could go into God's presence and receive of his goodness. We receive your well-being in Jesus' name. Okay, now we can have children's church. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to get right into our study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works with us in the church as the body of Christ. We've laid a strong foundation for faith in our hearts to understand that we really can do the things that the Bible says that we can do, and that it's really Jesus operating through us, the Holy Spirit operating through us, God operating through us, and that we're qualified because of the shed blood of Jesus. Not because we're so smart. Not because we're so good. But because of Jesus. Remember, it's all about him. Just to set a little bit of a foundation, since we're in the book of Corinthians, the city of Corinth, you have to understand, was the most important city in Greece. It was a very, very busy, it was a boom town. It was a center for worldwide commerce. People from all over the world were showing up in Corinth. It was a major hub. And they had a cultic religion, you might say, that a lot of false religions in there. But you could imagine from all over the world, people bringing all their traditions with them, what might happen. And Paul started the church in Corinth, in the middle of a pagan society, brought people out of pagan religions, got them born again, started this church, And so you can imagine now, since redemption is a messy process, the different challenges that he had to deal with in this church. You know, there was all kinds of different challenges. You know, the people were sleeping with these temple prostitutes. They were using they were abusing the Lord's Supper. There were all kinds of different things in this church that had to be dealt with. Paul's number one concern with these people was to keep encouraging them in Christ, keep convincing them of who they are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And it's going to be, we're going to read a lot, but there's a lot in this chapter. We're going to read the whole chapter. I want you to return to this chapter several times while we're studying this whole thing out. But verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." Circle that verse. Take your favorite crayon and circle that verse. Don't ever forget that. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is one. For the body is not one member, but many. Yet the foot shall say, Behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And at the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which be lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, health, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now that's the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible tells us that God gave the church some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some prophets, some evangelists. That's the fivefold ministry. He put different ministries in the church. He didn't get rid of none of these. See, there's a false teaching that says the apostles went away. Said there was only 12 of them, but they went away. That's not true. God gave that to the church. So the full fivefold ministry is still in effect. We still have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. The full fivefold ministry is in it. They were working together in the book of Acts. And the Bible tells us that there were many miracles and signs and wonders. And that the church was added to daily. Because there was no schism in the body of Christ. They all had one mind, they had one goal, and they were all going the same direction. That's hard to get in a body of Christ, in a church. If you don't believe me, just as a boredom therapy, try to find out how many different denominations we have. And you'll find out how hard it is to not have a schism in the church. Amen. Well, you need to be of one mind, one accord, and have one goal, and that's to increase the body of Christ. That means to get people born again. Not only to get people born again, but to get people delivered, get people healed, teach people, help people grow, help people go forward. That means you're going to have to operate in love. There's the key thing. All the gifts of the Spirit hang off of this one curtain rod. You might call the gifts of the Spirit a curtain, but they all hang off of that one rod called love. The gifts of the Spirit need to be operated out of a heart of love for people. Amen. It is never, ever, ever to be used to harm people. See, you'll find out in this that there's words of wisdom and words of knowledge that God gives people. And that's not to wound people. It's not to gossip about people. It's to pray for people, help people, to get them set free. Amen? We'll study that and we'll show how Jesus operated in these gifts of the Holy Spirit and how you can operate in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. You really can do this. Amen? Okay, let me get over here to my notes. We'll start getting going here. So we found out, go to verses 8 through 10. Chapter 12 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Okay, that's the gifts of the Spirit. They fall into three natural divisions. The first one would be the gifts of revelation. That'd be what they might call the mind gifts. That'd be the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits. The second division would be the gifts of inspiration, which is the vocal gifts. That'd be prophecy, the diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. The third division would be the gifts of power, or the working gifts, be faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles. So there's three different divisions. You're going to find out how you, as an individual, can be used to operate in each one of these gifts. See, you can be led to believe that he'll just give you one or two. But it's a manifestation of the Spirit that we're after. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, that you could do the same things he did, and even greater works than these shall you do, because he goes unto the Father. Now, if he is to say that, that means you have to be able to operate in all the gifts of the Spirit. You're on equal footing with Jesus. Amen. I know that bugs people. But we have to see ourselves the way God sees us. I know sometimes when we look in the mirror, we see the imperfections. When we look at ourselves, we see the imperfections. But we need to see us the way God did it. The way God sees us. He did a perfect work. Jesus did a perfect work in you. He did it perfectly. And then he sat down. I mean, he's not working no more. Well, why? Why can't I do this? Why haven't I seen this? Well, hey, you got to get a revelation of this. Remember, the more we learn of Jesus, the more of him that's going to come true in our hearts. So these gifts of the Spirit, when you study these gifts of the Spirit, you meditate on these things, and you realize you really can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And it's really him operating through us to the world. Somebody said, what's the most important gift that we can operate in? It's the one that the man standing in front of you needs the most. That's the most important gift you can operate in. That's the one that's going to set him free. I was tied up. I had some locks in my mind, some religious strongholds there about these gifts. And somebody came up and their daughter needed prayer. She needed a miracle. And they came up there and they said, well, I don't operate in miracles. I work in this and that. You see how a misunderstanding of the Bible truth. I said, but there's a guy across town. You can go over there and see him. No. No. I said, the Holy Spirit couldn't do anything through me for her because I had him locked out in that area. She needed something that the Holy Spirit could have given her through me, but because of false teaching, I had that locked out. Okay, so we're going to open our hearts to Jesus. We're going to let the Holy Spirit bring these truths into our hearts so that we can minister to these lost people. Amen? Okay, so we're going to get to the first one. It's the gifts of revelation. You know, in Ephesians, we pray that prayer all the time. We thank him that he has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's already given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is one of the gifts that you can operate in. Supernatural revelation or insight into the divine will and purpose, showing how to solve any problem that may arise. Anybody need any problem solving in their life? Does anybody need any problem solving? Somebody comes and asks you, said, I don't know what to do. Said, can you pray for me? I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what to do. Could you use the spirit of revelation? Could you use a word of revelation? A word of knowledge? A word of knowledge. So we're going to look at several examples of each one of these gifts. We're going to show how these gifts were operated, how they were used to help people. Look over to Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may be that we may eat." They said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" He said unto them, "Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water, following him into the house, wherewith he enters in. You shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He shall show you a large upper room furnished there. Make ready.'" I go. So they went. They found, as he said unto them, they made ready the Passover. Okay, so that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sounds pretty basic. Jesus told his disciples, go into town. He's going to see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him to his house. Say, "Can we use your upper room?" He said, "Yeah, go prepare the meal." But it's not that simple. You got to understand a little bit about the traditions of the culture. Carrying water was woman's work. Men didn't carry pots of water. That was for women. Now, as a matter of fact, I believe they had these pots that they could carry on their head. Can you imagine carrying a pot of water on your head? That'd slow up some of that bathroom use. But the disciples, now these guys, Jesus sent them. Can you imagine the conversations they must have had with themselves? He just told us to do the impossible. He said, "We got to go find a man carrying a pot of water. We got to go find this man carrying a pot of water." But they went, as he said. He had a word of wisdom. He knew there was a man that was going to be carrying a pot of water. They could go find that upper room, and then the Last Supper was instilled. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit aren't always going to make sense in the natural. You know, we always got everything figured out in our heads. So you can see where the struggle may come sometimes between our natural thinking and the things of the Spirit. Okay? But they went ahead and went, and they did indeed find a man carrying a pot of water, which in that culture was taboo. And they found the upper room so they could have the Last Supper. Amen. So now go to John chapter 2, verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. They believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Always the word of knowledge enlightens your mind. It always enlightens your mind. See, Jesus knew what was in a man. He had that word of knowledge. He could tell. Sometimes, I know each one of you have experienced this. You got in a deal with somebody, and maybe you was in a hurry to get this deal done, and you got it done, and then it was a bad deal. And you was having coffee the next day, and you said, "Something told me not to do that." His name is not something. He is Holy Spirit. And He is giving you a word of knowledge. He said, don't do that. Amen. You have to trust the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to guide you to peace. I don't like hurry up deals. I don't like hurry up deals. I like peaceful deals. I like deals where the Holy Spirit says yay or nay. But we got to give Him time for us to hear Him. Have you ever wondered why you just intuitively wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you all of a sudden know something? Because that's one of the few times the Holy Spirit could get you to shut up long enough to hear Him. I know this to be true. What happens? We get quiet and we get still. We're not talking, we're not moving, we're not active. But our spirits are still turned on and they can still hear. Amen? So then He can get through to us. Then we can hear Him clearly, and then we wake up at 2 o'clock and say, why didn't I think about that? Why didn't I think of that? Well, you never had an original thought in your life, so don't worry about it. But do this. Thank God that He got the answer to you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. He's trying to get answers to us 24/7. Our problem is being still and being quiet. In this active world, you know, where everything is busy and we got this to do, we got bills over here, we got challenges over here, we got kids over here, we got jobs over here, we got to do a bid over here, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got this hand over here, we got this hand over here, we got wife, we got kids, we got... Can you see how hard it can be to be still and be quiet? It's good for our souls to be still and quiet sometimes. It's hard for me. I can remember to this day very clearly. My dad would put me in his lap. And he'd say, if you will just be still and not say anything for 5 minutes, you'll get a quarter. I never walked away with a quarter. We're busy people. We're busy people. But here's the thing. If you'll get His word in you and keep pumping that word into your hearts, keep pumping it into your hearts, keep pumping His word into your hearts, He'll be able to have an intelligent conversation with you. And when you get quiet in the still of the night, He'll get an answer to you. Amen. Sometimes people with practice listening to the Spirit can get those answers through the day. But it takes a little practice. But you got to get His word in you so you can be familiar with His voice. Let's go on to the next one. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 14. John chapter 4, verse 14. Says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman says unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Jesus knew something about this woman. Now listen, he put her on the spot not to destroy her. He knew where she was in life. He had a word of knowledge, and look how he deals with this. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. Now you're going to go to hell if you don't repent 15 times. If you don't get on your knees and pray and pray and pray. What did he say? That ain't what he said. No. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The word of knowledge pinpoints what's wrong. But look at what Jesus did. He started giving her answers to success. He started telling her about worship. He started telling her who to worship, who to praise. Said, you're going to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I mean, you're going to be getting knowledge from him. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. But not one time did he ever lay anything out there that would destroy that woman. He never did anything that would bruise her already tarnished reputation. He didn't do anything that would harm her in any way. He knew everything about the situation, and the only thing he did was give her answers to freedom. Notice another thing. He didn't tell his disciples nothing about this woman. Gossip has no place. God gives us information so that we can help people, so that we can pray for people, not destroy them. Gossip has no place in the body of Christ. You may know a lot of things. That doesn't mean you should say a lot of things. Not even in the prayer circle. Gossip is one of the most harmful things that's ever hit the body of Christ. It has no place anywhere at any time. Just because you hear something doesn't mean that it needs to be repeated. I tell people, you know, something will happen and there's going to be some kind of court case. They'll start telling people who did it and how they did it and why they did it. And say, were you there? No. Then you don't know what happened. If you don't know directly, don't repeat it. And if you do know directly, pray about it. Amen. Now go to John chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to see how they bring release. John chapter 8 verse 1 says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he said he came again into the temple. All the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, pay attention here. Jesus is dealing with two different people. He's dealing with people that were trying to live out their own righteousness by keeping the law. And he's dealing with another person who was pulling on the mercy and grace of God and counting on him to be her righteousness. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said unto him, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He had a word of knowledge. He knew where these elders were. He knew where the religious mafia were. He knew what they were up to. He confronted them with the law. Said, you're going to stone her for breaking the law? Show me how you've kept the law. And if you've been able to keep the law, go ahead and throw a rock. None of them could throw a stone. They walked away. Now this woman, Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He gave her release. He gave her release. It would have been one thing for him to say, sin no more and I won't condemn you. Well, then she would have been doomed to failure. But that's what a lot of times the church does. They tell people, don't you sin and you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. You'll be able to walk in the Spirit. Don't you fulfill the lust of the flesh and you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. What happens? They get that verse backwards. The Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what Jesus just said. I don't condemn you. Walk in the Spirit. Go and sin no more. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you get that? That's how the gifts of the Holy Spirit are designed to operate, to set people free. Set people free. Now, Jesus could have held her under his thumb and said, you did this and you did that. But that's not what grace is about. Jesus came, by the way, you know, he is truth and grace. The Bible tells us that the law came by man. But truth and grace came by Jesus, and we call him Jesus. He is truth and grace. Truth and grace sets you free. That's what the gifts of the knowledge do. The gifts of the Holy Spirit set people free. Everything about Jesus is about setting people free. He said, you'll know the truth. Remember, he said, I am the truth. You know Jesus, he's going to set you free. Make you free. So, not only does a word of knowledge pinpoint sin, but it brings release. Look over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 14. We were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. That's the body of Christ. That's the body of Christ. But rise, Stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It not only enlightens the mind, it will change your witness. See what that did? To take people from darkness to light. Sometimes one word of knowledge can change a man's destiny. Now that one word of knowledge may come to somebody, and if they abuse that word of knowledge, it could destroy that human being. It could destroy their marriage. It could destroy their health. But if that word of knowledge gets used in the spirit of love, it could save that person's marriage. It could save that person's health. It could save that person's destiny. See how important it is to operate these gifts in the spirit of love. God gives you top secret information. You need to be diligent about the way you take care of that. Amen? Now, we'll finish up with this last one here. Go to Acts chapter 27, verse 22. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So, it'll even show you how to get out of a wreck. These guys were in it. Their ship was going to sink. And they were worried. And Paul said, no, God has already told me that I've got to be here at this certain place at a certain time. Don't worry about it. The ship's going to be lost, but you're going to be preserved. Amen. I actually told a guy that one time. We were wrecking one time. We were in a long-nosed Peterbilt with a bull wagon on it. Cattle, he's going to haul cattle. He's going out to get a load of cattle. We were empty. And we got up there and we hit black ice. And it seemed like this road was about this wide, but we slid and wandered around forever, it seemed like. And he said, what are we going to do? And I said, don't worry about it. I'm supposed to preach tomorrow afternoon. Just go on with it. We fishtailed for, it seemed like, 5 miles. Finally, just lined out and took off. He looked at me and said, what was that all about? I said, I don't know, but I'm glad it all worked out. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who operates through us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us. We thank you for your grace when you put Jesus on that cross and took care of us. Everything that we need is met at that cross. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you for prospering us. Everything that we need is met in Jesus. And you have freely given unto us all things with him. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have some coffee and some snacks back here. Everybody's welcome to come back and partake.